The book of Matthew, the fifth chapter, starting with the first verse, Matthew 5:1. If you'd stand, please, for the reading of the word. Matthew 5, starting with verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Amen.
So here we have a picture of Jesus, and he's on this mountainside, and he's these crowds are kind of gathering, and so he has the crowd of these people that are just kind of a mixed group from the countryside, and he also has his disciples with him. And so it's a little unclear if he started talking with just his disciples or if he was with everyone, but he began to share this with them. And I think that sometimes when we read this passage, we think, you know, blessed are these, and blessed are those, and blessed are this and that. We know this passage pretty well. And so we tend to kind of, it's like a starter to what he's really going to say, but it's actually what he's really saying. And when we begin to look at this, he says that blessings are for those who do these things. And if you look at it carefully, you'll see that in order for us to really receive the blessing that God has for us, there is some sacrifice involved. And I think some people have this theology that, you know, Lord, I'm going to live however I want to, but just pour your blessing out. Just, I want your blessing. You know, pour your blessing over my family, pour your blessing over this, and your blessing over that. We ask blessing over our food. We ask blessing pretty much over every part of our life. But there's a part that we have to do. If we look at this, it says, blessed are those who do this, because this is what they have coming. And so, you know, for a large part of my life, I would ask for God's blessing, and I don't know if I even really understood what that meant. I guess it's more of whatever I wanted, or whatever I planned to have happen. That was the blessing. I would know his blessing when I got what I wanted. But when you look at this here, you begin to see maybe a little bit different picture of blessing, because when you hear Christ say to them, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, you begin to see that it's more of an empowerment. It's like, you know, empowered are those, right? Empowered are those. The ones who are blessed are the ones who have my presence and power with them. And those are the ones who receive the kingdom of heaven. And he refers to people who are humble in spirit or poor in spirit. And the idea here is that if we will just be teachable, if we will just be humble, if we will just admit we don't have it all together, for those people who are still teachable and understand that they need Christ in their life, they're going to receive the blessing that God has for them. And that's just true, right? I mean, the more open we are to what God's doing, the more we understand that we don't have what it takes, but God has everything that we need. It sets us in a place where we'll really be blessed and empowered by God and empowered by His Holy Spirit. And so we get this picture. We don't see Him saying, you know, blessed are the arrogant, you know? I mean, the thing is, some of the times in my life I look back, I see such arrogance in the way that I acted, in the way that I saw life. And I remember asking for God's blessing over those things I was doing out of arrogance. And I'm thinking, what was I thinking? You know, blessed are the arrogant? Is that what I thought? Because I don't see it that way. There's something that has to happen in our own life. There's a sacrifice that has to happen for us to get to a place where we receive the blessing of God. And here's the beauty about sacrifice is this. When you sacrifice things in the world, you give this up to get this, okay? So there's a loss in the process. But when you sacrifice for the Lord, it's different. That where you sacrifice things and you say, I'm going to admit that I don't have it together, I'm going to be teachable, I'm going to humble myself before God, and we sacrifice that, God pours out even more than you ever had before. And so there's never a loss in the process. That's what the beauty is about sacrifice. Sure, give the Lord your heart, give the Lord your mind, and watch what He does with it, because He'll do amazing things. Anybody got an amen on that? Amen. Okay, you're with me. Okay, so He also says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, mourning is an important part of life. It's important that we open up that side of our life to people. That we just admit that, hey, this makes me sad. This is upsetting to me. I think there are times that we have to understand how important mourning is for our lives and how important vulnerability is, you know, if we're really going to grow together, if we're really going to be blessed. And a lot of times we just need to be in a place where we say, you know what, what's happening in my life right now is causing me great pain. It's like, it's tough for me right now. I'm having one of the most difficult times. And we just pour it out and mourn it. I mean, some of us need to mourn the loss of people in our lives that we've loved. Some of us need to mourn the loss of things that we've lost in life that we really enjoyed. Some of us have to mourn the fact that we've wasted some years in following things that we shouldn't have followed. But the bottom line is this, is that there's a time of mourning in life, and we need to be vulnerable with people. And don't you know it's important for us as we grow as a family and even as leadership in the church that we can just be vulnerable with people and just openly mourn those things? Because whoever's willing to mourn and whoever open up their hearts and say, look, I'm hurting, I'm having some issues in my life, I'm dealing with some stuff, if we're willing to do that, it says that God will pour his comfort out over you. And I mean, and I'm not talking about just like, oh, it's going to be okay. That's not God's comfort. God's comfort is overwhelming. It is a comfort that wraps around you and lets you know that absolutely everything is going to be okay. God has everything for you, and he's watching out for you, and he cares for you, and he loves you. And it's a feeling that we need. We need to know that. But that kind of blessing doesn't come unless we're willing to mourn those things. The scripture goes on to say, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. You know, blessed are the people who are gentle out there. You know, being gentle is an important part of life, isn't it? You know, blessed are the people who don't have to have everything right. Blessed are the people who don't get in people's faces. And blessed are the people who can just let things go sometimes and don't have to deal with everything wrong in this world, you know? Blessed are those, you know? It's like, you don't read the thing. It says, blessed are those who confront everything and let everyone know when they've offended them. You know, there's no such thing. You know, the blessing of the Lord is always in gentleness, and we see that that's very much one of the fruits of the Spirit. And it said they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know, blessed are you if you choose to fill yourself with the things of God. Blessed are you if you choose to read the Word of God and let it become a part of you. You know, does anybody here want to be blessed that way? You know, it's like we want to have the blessing of being filled in life. But oftentimes we ignore those things and we talk about our emptiness and we say, God, bless it. You know, bless me in this and bring this fulfillment to my life and fill me up. And sometimes out of God's mercy, he does those things. But I can tell you that, you know, if we really want to be blessed and we really want to experience this fullness in life, it's going to have to be because we hunger and thirst for the things of God. There's got to be something inside of us that's stirred up that says, God, I want more of what you have. I want your word in my life. I want the truth in my life. I want to live it out because that's what brings fulfillment. He goes on to say, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are all those people who decide that they're going to pour out mercy instead of making everything right. You know, blessed are the people who don't make everyone pay them back for everything that ever went wrong. You know, sometimes we feel like that we have a right as Christians to make things right and to go after the people who messed with us and make things the way they ought to be. And I can tell you there's no blessing over that. You know, for everyone who wants to go out and make it right and get in people's faces and confront stuff and get it to where you get life just the way you want it, there will be no blessing over that. And I think that we really need to understand that in situations where we lack mercy and times we're not giving mercy to people who, you know, God's called us to give mercy too. If we think God's going to bless our life as we hold mercy back from people, there's no blessing for that. You know, and it's like in life we ask God for so much. We ask him for his blessing over things. We ask him for his blessing over our relationships and over our families, but there are times that we're not humble, and there are times that we don't open ourselves up and be vulnerable, and there are times that we're not gentle. And there are times that we don't hunger and thirst for the things of him, and there are times that we're not merciful, and for those times, we can't expect God's blessing over those things. And, you know, for a long time, I just kind of acted however I wanted to, you know? I mean, my relationship with God was just, it was marginal at that when I was younger. I just didn't know. I mean, it was like Linda talks about. I knew who he was, but I don't know that I had a really super close relationship. And so I just kind of acted however I wanted to act, and I did what I felt was right, and And I remember thinking, God's grace covers all that. It's all going to be okay. And I remember asking God's blessing over things, but I was doing things my way. And you know, as long as we continue to do things our way and make life the way we want it, and for us to be right, and for us to correct other people, and for us to try to make everything the way we want it to be, there'll be no blessing over that. You know, I asked for God's blessing so many times over things that He was never going to bless because it was all about me. And the thing is, today, I want to see God's blessing over my family. I want to see His blessing over my children specifically, and Ross and Decatur, Illinois. I want to see His blessing over Parker, and I want to see His blessing over Madison. But I don't want to be this person that I used to be. Like, I want to be gentle, and I want to be merciful, and I want to be loving, and I don't want to be harsh, and I don't want to be tough, and I don't want to be all that stuff. I want to be who Christ wants me to be, because I want to realize His blessing completely. Don't you? But it requires something from us. It requires us to sacrifice something. You know, the deal is this. I'm not going to get my way all the time. I'm not going to have life the way I want it every time. Not everything's going to be right. I'm not going to be able to correct everybody who does me wrong, and I'm not going to be able to tell everyone who offended me that they offended me. I'm not going to be able to do it all like that. Because it's going to require, if I want to see God's blessing over my life, over my children, over everything, that I'm going to have to lay that stuff down and sacrifice all that stuff so that I can realize God's blessing. I think there are a lot of Christians out there who are constantly praying for God's blessing but doing nothing to receive it, you know? And I don't say that like judgmentally, because that was like my life. As a matter of fact, here's the thing. It continues to be our life off and on because we're humans, right? There's always going to be stuff we want to make right. There's always going to be stuff we want to set straight. There's always stuff that we want to get in people's faces and tell them what we really think. But the bottom line is this. If you want God's blessing more than you want to be right, then you'll lay all that stuff down and you'll sacrifice it. It's like marriage. They tell you that, you know, you can be right or you can be happy, but you can't be both, right? And everybody who's married, you're like, you know what, that is so right, you know? But it's like that with the Lord. You know, you can make it all right. You can get life the way you want it. You can be tough. You can be, you know, brutal with people. You can hold them accountable. You can hold their feet to the fire if you want. You can be tough and all that stuff if you want to be. But the bottom line is that the only blessing you're going to get is to be right in the moment, and that is it. You're not going to get anything beyond that moment. You know how good it feels to be right in marriage? About 30 seconds, okay? Yeah, and then you pay the relational price later. You know what I mean? It doesn't last forever, right? So Jesus goes on to say this. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are those people who want to take on the character of Christ, because the more you take on the character of Christ, the more you see Him. And sometimes even in the mirror, right? How awesome is that? He goes on to say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God or children of God. You know, blessed are those people who are willing to bring peace with them in every situation. There are times in life we step into stuff that we know is going to get ugly, it's going to be tough, that it's hard to find peace in it, we have to confront things. But blessed are the people who will come into even the most difficult situations in life with this whole concept that all I did is come to bring peace, I didn't come to be right. I can't imagine what that life would be like. I mean, honestly, when I was in construction and we were dealing with multi-million dollar contracts, nobody came to the table with that attitude. Nobody did. They came wanting their money. That was it. They just wanted it to be their way. There was none of that going on. But I can remember there were times when I would even walk into meetings and some of those meetings, and I just wanted there to be peace, and I wanted something to work for everybody. And in those moments where we came to the table with a little bit of a spirit of cooperation, the best we could put together, a spirit of cooperation and understanding, it's like God began to bless those things and work them out. And I wonder what it would be like in a world where we absolutely made peace like the main thing for us, right? That wherever we went, no matter what we dealt with, whether it be in our marriage or at work, on contracts, whatever the case is, that we went in there with this idea that we just came to bring peace to this because there's no peace today. I mean, how awesome would that be? And some people, that's so unrealistic. No, it's not. Because here's the deal. With the power of God going with you, anything is possible. I don't care how ugly the contract situation, I don't care how messy your marriage is, I don't care what the issues are in your life, the bottom line is that if peace is your goal, peace will be the outcome. Because God's in it. He goes on to say, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, blessed are those people who do the right thing and get pointed out for it. Blessed are those people who get pointed out as Bible thumpers, you know, but they're just doing it in my name and they're loving me. You know, I look at this whole list here and I think, isn't this a perfect picture of what it means to be a real Christian? I mean, how cool would it be that all of us would keep a humble spirit about things and that we wouldn't be arrogant at all? That would really work if Cindy would do that. I can tell you that would be really, really good. I'm joking. She's sitting back there going, we'll talk. But wouldn't this be awesome for marriage? Let me just lay it out for you, okay? Blessed are those who are humble in spirit. Blessed are those who are vulnerable and mourn. Blessed are those who are gentle. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst to be more like Jesus. Blessed are those who are merciful. Blessed are who are pure in heart and who bring peace to situations. And people who are persecuted because of righteousness. Imagine what it would be like in a relationship or in your family or in your workplace if that was really your attitude about everything. And to be honest, I've never really broken that scripture open that way and looked at it and thought, I wonder if that's me. Because unfortunately, I would love to tell you that that is a picture of me. If you like turn the page, you'll see my actual picture. You know, it's not like that. It's like I see things in me, and it's very convicting at times where I think, you know, I'm not as gentle as I ought to be. You go ahead and answer it. It's cool. I'm just messing around. Hey, Hope. But it's like the thing is, there are times in my life where I'm not as gentle as I ought to be. There are times when I don't use the words that I want to use. There are times where I don't always bring peace to situations. And I would love to tell you as a pastor, I have all this stuff worked out and that everything works out perfectly. And if you could just be like me, it would be awesome. But it's just not like that. It's because these are the things that we need to be thinking about all the time. It's part of our human nature is that we always want to go back to somehow being heard and being right and having things together and acting like we don't need anything. That's the human piece of this whole thing. But the bottom line is that we need to take on this persona of Christ. And so you can imagine that in this group that Jesus is talking to, in this group are his disciples. And I can't think of a better message to bring to your disciples than this right here. I mean, to all your Christian leaders that they're sitting right there with you and you tell them, you know what? If you really want to be empowered, okay, get this, okay, blessing is empowerment. So if you really want to be empowered in your ministry, then you need to be humble first and foremost. Don't act like you have it together because no one's going to listen to you, right? You need to just bring the truth and you need to bring it in a humble spirit. He tells them, make sure that you're gentle with people. I want you to be gentle because if you're going to lead my flock, I want you to be gentle. And I want you to be vulnerable to people. And I don't want you to act like you have it together. If you're hurting, I want you to, it's okay to hurt. It's okay to be open. It's okay to mourn. I want you to be so hungry and thirsty for my righteousness and for my word that you're just, it pours out of you in every possible way because you're always taking it in. And I want you to be merciful toward people. I don't want you to ever hold people's feet to the fire because I never did that to you. And so he brings this to his disciples, and he sets them up to be incredible shepherds. And I know that when you look at this passage here, you're thinking, this is good for everybody. It's good for the people who never knew Jesus, who were just sitting on the mountainside saying, I heard Jesus came through, I was just going to listen. And then there were people who were leaders here, and there were disciples in this group, and the disciples took this stuff in, and it made them be better shepherds down the road because they ended up being shepherds as they continued to follow Christ. And when we see this here, it's like It's amazing leadership training. Jesus goes on to finish and he says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So he's saying this. He says, blessed are you when you're insulted and you're upset and you feel bad. And I can tell you feelings will take you a multitude of places, but it's important for us to understand that even when you feel bad, that he says here to rejoice. Even when people insult you, they treat you badly, they say bad things about you, I want you to lay all that stuff down. I know you can chase it all around and try to make it right. People do that all the time. It never works, by the way. You know, people can talk about you and you can chase everybody down. I'm not really that way, and that's not really what happened, and you can do that if you want to, and it doesn't do any good. Because here's the thing. Our response, according to Jesus, is that we need to rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. And for some people, they're so concerned about the reward they get here. You know, like, I want it to be right here. I want to get what I want here. It's like, if you want your reward here, then that's fine, but that's the only reward you're getting, right? If we want to see God's blessing, and we want to see his empowerment on things, it's not going to happen if we try to get our way today. Because here's the thing, there's no blessing for those who want their reward on earth. For everybody who wants it to be right here, and they want to make everything right here, then if they want to do that, they'll get it today, and that's it. That's the end of it for you. But if you want a blessing that goes way beyond this life and actually becomes an eternal blessing in your life, it's going to have to be because you laid that stuff down. You know, it doesn't matter if people insult you. It doesn't matter what people say to you. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. It doesn't matter if you feel like you need to be somehow be vindicated in it all. It doesn't matter. That at some point we have to lay all that stuff down and say, it's just not about me, but today I choose to rejoice over it. It's okay. It's okay because I know there's an eternal reward in all this for me, and I'm not living for today, I'm living for then. And when we begin to live for an eternal reward and we begin to live for eternity, it changes the decisions we make today, you know? It changes the way we see things. You know, a lot of us get really stirred up when things don't happen the way we think they ought to. Right now, today, the things that we want to have happen, we want to engage it, we want to jump in, we want to fight for things, and I can tell you, there's no blessing for that. You know, for those who always want to be right, there's no blessing for that. For those who want to be heard and they want to be right, there's no blessing for that stuff. There's no blessing for fighting your way through stuff. But there is a blessing for those who become the peacemakers and the gentle people and the humble people on this earth. And you know, when I look at this and I think about leaders and I think about pastors, and I think about everyone here who has a call to care for people, I think, wouldn't it be cool? It wouldn't it be some of the best training ever to really get a handle on this passage right here? Because I'm convinced. I'm convinced that God is raising up leaders in this church. And he's raising up, not when I say leaders, I don't just mean generic leaders. They talk about that all the time. He's raising up shepherds here that are going to shepherd people. And some people think, you know, I don't know that I'm ever called to shepherd. Well, let me tell you what shepherds do, because not everybody really knows. Some people think shepherds are pastors. This is what they do. They stand up here and they speak to everybody. That's a part of it, but that's not all. As a matter of fact, it's a very small piece of it. Shepherds actually care for people. They just bring people in and they care for them and they listen to them and they pray for them and they're just there for them in some of the most difficult times of life. Shepherds love people. Just where they're at. They don't try to correct everything. They just love people where they're at, and they help them through life, because isn't it true that we all had our time to get things worked out? For some of us, that was a lot of years, and for others, it might have been really quick, but we've all had our moment. Shepherds are hospitable. Shepherds allow people to come into their homes, and they welcome people in, and they're hospitable with what they have, and the very things that God has blessed them with, they bless other people with those things too. And so they pour their life out. It's a sacrificial thing. We know that shepherds also feed their people, not just food, but also the word, so a combination of things. So we see that shepherds do those things. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that there are people in this congregation that God has raised up to be shepherds in this place. And I know for the longest time the model has always been that, you know, there's one shepherd, Jesus Christ, let's just be clear, right? But there's an under-shepherd, right? There's a pastor who is put in charge of a church, and he's not a one-stop shop, just so you know, or she isn't. I serve a role. I do a thing here at the church. I teach, or I'm there for people. I do all the things I just talked about. I'm just one role in the whole church, but that doesn't make me any more important than anyone, and it certainly doesn't make me the only one. God is in the process of raising up leaders and shepherds in our church that are going to shepherd people, and it's not going to be me. And I know this may sound a little odd to you, but God is raising up people in the church that they're going to be caring for a group of people. And I believe that God's going to raise up many, many shepherds in this church that are going to actually care for people and love people. Because here's the reality of things, that when a church is making a difference for the Lord, it grows. But when a church grows, the pastor can no longer shepherd everyone anymore. So it's a really strange thing. If something good's going on, it's going to get too big to pastor people. And some people say, well, it's important that other people step up to take the load off the pastor. Well, I can tell you there's no load on the pastor because he's not doing it, okay? I'm not able to shepherd as many people as we have here. But I know that God is going to raise the shepherds that we need within our church to be able to do that. I know it beyond the shadow of a doubt. I know God was going to do that. He's always good to do that. But I don't want the church to ever hinge on a person. And I'm not bringing this message to you today because I'm getting ready to take off, and it's been real. That's not where we're at, okay? I'm not going anywhere, at least not as far as I know. That's the Lord's thing. He'll tell me what tomorrow holds, right? But I can tell you that I know there are going to be people who come up in here who begin to really take care of people and to love people and to be hospitable to them and to be there with them and to help them with some of the most difficult moments of life, because I can't always do that, and the staff can't always do that. You know, I don't want to ever lose that side of church, do you? I mean, isn't that what a church family is about? That we rally around each other and we're there for each other. And sometimes it feels so difficult to be able to do those things for all the people of the church. And it's my heart's desire to do it. I'm one guy and I'm
You know, not that great at that. I mean, I'm just like, you know, I have what I have and I offer it to the Lord. You know what I mean? And he can do whatever he wants to do with it. But I know there are people here that as I tell you, I give you this picture of what a shepherd looks like about caring and loving and being hospitable and opening up your life to people, being vulnerable and all those things. You're thinking, you know what, that's where God's called me to be and I just haven't answered it yet. And so I know there are people here who are willing to do that and who say, this is what God has on my life and I know I'm supposed to. And so here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to come see me and let me know that this is what God's called you to do, because we've not always had that conversation, you know. We've always said, hey, if God's ever said anything to you, come see me. But this is a bit more serious than that. This is like, if this is a calling that you have on your life, I need to see you because we need to talk. You know, I know God is getting ready to make some changes, and they're good, positive changes for things. But I need to see you because if God's put that on your heart, we need to talk about it. And for some here, it's going to be individuals who say, I want to open my home. I want to be here for people. Or I want to shepherd the people that I know in the congregation. And there are others who say, you know, I know that I'm supposed to actually, you know, open up a home group or a home church or whatever the case is. And for some of you, we need to talk about that too. But I really hope that you'll be vulnerable enough, okay, because this is part of leadership too, to open up and say, this is what God's called me to, because here's what I want to do. This passage here, there's so much in this passage that we could talk about. And I think that if God's called you to shepherd, that we need to have a conversation shepherd to shepherd to talk about what it looks like to really shepherd people. And in January, probably the second week of January, I'm going to be doing some training. And for those who say, this is where God's called me to be, I really want you to be here. Because we're going to begin to walk through what it means to really shepherd people and what it means to really walk out this calling that God has on your life. And I know there are many here today, and I expect that I'm going to have some conversations after the service. But this is not a recruitment service, just so you know. This is if God has spoken to you, I need to hear about it. Because it's very much a part of the body of Christ. It's very much what's happening in this place. And I know that as God leads me and speaks to me and says, this is where we're going, that at the same time, he's raising individuals to fill the need. Because I'm not going to teach that into you. Either God has called you to it or it's not happening. Right? And so I really, as the service ends today, if this is something you want to share with me, you say, I want to be in that class. I want you to teach me how to shepherd because I feel like this is where God's called me to. I want to have a conversation with you. I want to put you on the list and I want to talk with you about that. So please, I would love to talk with you after the service so we can kind of work through that. Does that sound good to anybody? You know, I'm always blown away by the many giftings that God's poured into people's lives. I'm always blown away by the callings that he has over people. And I'm also surprised sometimes by the timidity of people. And maybe part of that's been just the fact that church has been closed for a long time, and maybe too long for people to really find their way in to be doing the things that God's called them to do. But the church should never be an obstacle to what the Holy Spirit's planting in people. I do know that, you know. And I think that sometimes people see the church as like, well, everything that they need is full and everybody's doing their thing and everything's taken. And I can tell you that's hardly the case. The church always has to be in a place where it's able to move everything out of the way so that people can serve the Lord as God has told them to, whatever that means. So we want to be that kind of church. Does that sound like a good thing? Okay. Can I pray over you today? If you would, just bow your heads and close your eyes. Father God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you set out a really clear picture of what it means to follow you and what it means to shepherd and what it means to be the people you called us to be, Lord. Help us to be humble people. Lord, help us to be vulnerable and open, and Lord, help us to be gentle and hungry for all that you have to offer, and Lord, help us to be merciful in some of those difficult situations in life, and Lord, help us to always seek after your character so that we can become more like you. And Lord, I pray that in all things that we bring peace with us. And Lord, I pray that we never, ever let our feelings take over and keep us from the very blessing that you've called us to. Lord, I thank you that you are the one who blesses, you are the one who empowers. Lord, we know that as we sacrifice things to you and we lay down all of our thoughts and opinions and everything that we think we know, Lord, we lay all those things down. We lay all of our rights down and we lay everything before you. Lord, we know that as we do that, your blessing flows over it all. Your empowerment flows over it all. So, Lord, I thank you for how you're stirring our people through the power of your Holy Spirit today. I thank you for where you're headed with all of us. And, Lord, I just pray that Lord, you just bless everything that we lay before you. Lord, help us not to live life our way and to do things our way and to try to be right, because it's just not about that. Lord, we want your blessing more than anything. We need your empowerment in our lives. So, Lord, let us do it your way. We just love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we continue with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? There may be some here today who have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you may feel the Lord drawing you today. If this is your heart's desire, if you could just lift your hand where you sit right now, I'd love to pray for you today. Is there anyone here today ready to accept Jesus Christ into their life? Thank you. Anyone else here today? Okay, I just want to lead you in this prayer, just between you and God today. Father God, I give you my life today. Today I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. Father, I pray that you take my life and make something incredible out of it. Lord, give me ears to hear your Spirit and give me the courage to be obedient, Lord. I love you and thank you, and thank you for your Son. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Can we thank the Lord for what he's done here today? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. If you feel like the Lord has called